We'll open up to Mark chapter 5. This is 2 weeks recently where I actually know what the message is before I got here today. So seldom does that happen anymore. But this was one of those mornings where I woke up and the lesson was already going on. And I had to bound out of bed, get in, start the computer. You know, it's terrible when you have to start the computer before you do the coffee pot. I mean, that's, you know, you don't want to miss the revelation, you know. I'm afraid I'll miss it. So I get in there and type as much as I could. This is a very familiar passage that we're going to look at today, but it's not my decision to teach it. Whether this is for, yes, sir. Now, I start to say whether this is for you or someone you'll help. It's really for both. I was refreshed myself going through this lesson again. You know, it talks about where we have attained. Let's not let those things slip. And sometimes it's good, you know, to be put back in remembrance of some of the basic things. Because I have let them slip before. None of you ever fell out of prayer, but I've heard of people that happened to. Mark chapter 5, we're going to look at the woman with the issue of blood. This is really one of the most astounding miracles in the New Testament to me. It has something in it that I don't find really hardly anywhere else in all of the other miracles. I remember years ago when what we're going to talk about today impacted me. It switched my faith to a different level. It helped me in a practical way obtain more of the miracles, more of the blessings of God that really belonged to me the whole time. How many of you know, though, you can have an inheritance and not walk in very much of it? You don't know that? Well, you know that. You have to learn how to receive from your inheritance. So let's just read it first in case there's some that's not real from it. Maybe it's just been a while since you've read this. Mark 5, starting in verse 25. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years. 12 years is a long time. See, it's one thing to struggle with something for a month, 6 months. I don't like struggling. I don't like being sick a week, do you? I mean, you know, I don't like it. But 6 months, man. 12 years? Now, when you are a God-loving person struggling with something really severe for 12 years, and the doctors, well, I haven't read it yet. As we'll see, the doctors couldn't help her. We're not against doctors. I thank God for anything the doctors can do. But there's so much that they still can't. Even with all of our modern science and everything, there's so much that they still can't. So I better read it before I teach from it, okay? As a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. Boy, that's encouraging. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be healed. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, he turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Is that not a wonderful story? It's more than a story. That is the truth. It really happened. Now, the astounding thing to me in this miracle that's different somewhat from some of the other ones, and it took a long time for the Holy Spirit to get what I'm about to say across to me. Well, it was, I heard it pretty early, but I didn't believe it early. Well, because my mind had been religiously brainwashed to think that I still thought Jesus, at least to some degree, was still operating as God. See, Jesus is God. Don't write me any letters. I understand. God was manifested in the flesh. The Word who made all things, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. I do know that Jesus is God in the flesh. I understand that. But I also know that my Bible says he laid down his divinity. He did not function in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John as God. If he did, then he's no pattern for me. Looking unto Jesus, what, am I God now? No, I am a man reborn in the image of God. He was a man firstborn in the image of God. He functioned. Now, he was God, but he wasn't functioning as God. He was functioning as a man with the life of God on the inside, clothed in mortal flesh just like you and I are wearing, yet anointed by the same Holy Ghost that has come on you. He is our pattern. He is our pattern. So that statement that the Holy Ghost got across to me years ago was here where it says, when he says, verse 20, 31, when he says, who touched me? At first I thought he was kidding. Because I had this picture that, well, he knows all things. He's God. He would know who touched him. And it took the longest time for the Holy Ghost to get it across to me, even though he's God. Now, don't ask me how this is possible. I don't know. All I know is what the Bible says. He is not kidding there. He is functioning as a man, anointed by the Holy Ghost. And unless the Holy Ghost reveals to that man supernatural knowledge, he doesn't have it. Not as a man. How he's able to separate that from who he is as God, you ask him when you get to heaven, okay? That's not my job. I don't know, and I don't need to know. But he does not even know who it was. In that verse here, in that story here, when it says, verse 30, and Jesus, here's what he did know. Immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him. He knew that. Why in the world the King James chose to use the word virtue here, I do not know. It's a word we're all very familiar with. The Greek word there is dunamis. Remember, power, authority, exousia. And dunamis are both often translated power. Exousia, though, is the authority. It's the authority to have power. Dunamis is where we get our word dynamite. Dunamis is raw, unbridled power of the living God. Jesus is walking along now as a man anointed by the Holy Ghost, and whoosh, dunamis goes out of you. Apparently you can feel it. I felt it at times. Probably not like that. But he could tell. He's like, whew, power went out of me. And he's looking around going, who touched me? Now, people were thronging him. That's why the disciples said, yeah, verse 31, his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee. People were touching him all over the place. He's talking about who touched me with faith. There's a lot of people touching me. Somebody touched me with faith. And the amazing thing is, he didn't know who it was. If you don't get anything else out of this lesson today, get this, it's not God deciding whether you're healed or not. If you get that right there, you're ahead of about 99% of the church at large. It is not God deciding whether you get healed or not. The ball is in your court, not his. Now, don't get me wrong. God has, because he is so merciful and he is so kind and he loves us so much, he has provided a multitude of ways to be healed. I thank God for every healing. I have seen more miracles and healings in this church than any other church I've ever been in. But I've seen them in others. But I've seen more here, and I thank God for that. I thank God for miracles. More than once, God has had Dave do the, do y'all know what I mean when I say the arm thing? You know, when I mean, people that can't see me, I don't know. It's where he has you put your arms up above your head as far as you can. And, you know, usually if you're in pain, there's usually a difference in the length of your arms, and that means your spine's out of whack. He'll pray. We've seen that how many times? I've seen it. He's done it for me maybe at least three times over these years. And sure enough, you know, so it grows out. The pain is gone, or at least greatly diminished for me. One time, when I was walking back from the line, she stood up and she looked at me. She says, "I think you're taller." I said, "I think I am too." I don't think it's still there, but it was then. But see, what I've noticed is I can walk in that for a while, and God is so good to do that for me. I thank God for the gifts of the Spirit. I thank God for any way that you can get healed. But see, normally the devil is not a passive individual in your life. And normally, you know, even with Jesus, after Jesus overcame him in the wilderness, one of the gospels says Satan left him for a more opportune time. And that's the way the devil is. Okay, you may escape the pain today. I'm going to come back around in a week or two or a month or so, and we'll see how you do then. And what's the problem is if you don't know how you got the miracle, and the enemy comes and attacks you again, what are you going to have to do? Find Dave in Brazil today? And he started getting it across to me, you know, there's more than one way to get healed. This lady, she's a hero of mine. She went and got her miracle from God. Now, through Jesus, that's important. And Jesus didn't even know she did it until it happened. Now, that tells me God is not deciding whether you get healed or not. You are deciding whether you get healed or not. I thank God, if Dave calls a line and you need it, get in it. I don't care if it's a hangnail. And get in it again. Sue and I did. Hey, when we were so hungry and thirsty and dry and broken and hurt and all the other adjectives I can think of, Dave called a line. We'd get in that rascal. He'd call a line the next service. We'd get in that rascal. We were hoping for two things. Any kind of touch from God, and maybe God would talk to us. Because we didn't know how to hear him for ourselves. So maybe God would say something to Dave. And he, you know, in the early days, he did a lot. A lot. And then after a while, after we'd been doing the message for quite a while, one day I still remember, I'm sure Sue does, he said to us plainly, Dave did. He said, God's telling me he's not going to speak through me to you very much anymore. Because you developed the capacity to hear him for yourself, and now you're accountable to do it. Well, that's called growing up. I want Dave to do it. Well, when the real revival breaks out, Dave is going to be a mite busy. You may have trouble tracking him down for a word or for the or whatever else you need. We have got to find out what we got to find out. You know, if this lady can receive her miracle, you can receive your miracle. God is not a respecter of persons. We're not told she was a minister, not in the fivefold. We're not even told if she's a good person, a bad person. Maybe she's a gossip. We're not told anything about this woman. And she still just came and got her miracle. Well, let's see if we can learn a few things from her. Now, I said it was important, that sentence that I said, she came and received her miracle through Jesus. Well, wouldn't that be great if you could go to Jesus today? See, that's what a lot of people are doing. They're waiting for Jesus to walk through their town or their apartment building or walk into their living room or walk into their bedroom. Yeah, I'm just waiting when Jesus comes by, I'm going to touch his clothes. Honey, it's going to be a long wait. That's not what he was trying to teach. That's not what Jesus was here for. Hold your place in Mark. We're coming back there. And go to John chapter 1. You got to understand the mission that Jesus was on. All of the prophets in the Old Testament, they accurately gave the word of God. They kept telling us what God is like. God would reveal himself through the prophets, including Moses and others. He would say all of those names of his. You remember all those names of God? I am Jehovah Jireh, your provider. I am Jehovah Rapha, your healer. I am Jehovah Tsidkenu, whatever that one is. He's your banner. He's all these things, you know. And the prophets would say that and people would stay sick. Very few, if you really look through there in the Old Testament, very few of them are recorded anyway that they really got healed, even though he plainly said, I am Jehovah Rapha, I will bless thy bread, I will bless thy water, I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. They had that covenant in the Old Testament, but very few received from that covenant. But the prophets, they kept telling us, telling the world, what Jehovah was like, what God is like, let's say what the Father is like. The difference with Jesus, yeah, he came to bring us the words of God. He plainly said, the words that thou gavest me, I have given them. But he also came not to just tell us words about God. He came to demonstrate the word of God, where you can see the word of God in action. They said, this is what God is like. And he says, I've come to show you what God is like. I'm not just going to tell you God's a healer. Come here. Let me get my hand on your head. Let me just speak the word over you. He came. I like to say it this way. Jesus is the word with legs. He is. You don't have to just hear it. You can see it. You can read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John until that image comes off the pages and stands up in your heart and you know the will of God. When it comes to things like healing and your provision and those type of things, you can know it without doubt. You don't have to have a special rhema either. Because Jesus is the Word of God. That's why he said over and over, I and my Father are one. So now let's go here in John. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Him who? The Word. And without him, the Word, was not anything made that was made. Now, let me just do it. Let me say verse 3 this way. Since the Word, and now, if, just so you'll know that it was Jesus. Come on down here to where it says, yes, verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Who is that? So here in the beginning, it's talking about the pre-incarnate Christ before he was conceived in the womb of Mary. He has always been, always will be the Word. So in verse 3 up here where it says all things were made by him, what if we just substituted all things were made by the Word and without the Word was not anything made that was made? In the Greek, Dave tells us there's a pigtail. It says, no, not one single thing. Now the Holy Spirit got this sentence across to me years ago. It'll bear repeating. Look at that again, verse 3. You got to have this out of your Bible. All things were made by him. Let's say it this way. All things were made by the Word. And without the Word was not anything made that was made. Not one single thing. Do you know why everything will respond to the Word? because at its core, everything is the Word. Now let that settle in for a minute. At its core, that chair you're sitting in, I know we could break it down into protons, electrons, neutrons, quarks, whatever they found below quarks. But if we could eventually break it down till its most elemental thing, you know what it's made of? And God said. God said. And it will respond to God said. It will respond to it. And get this, it does not have a choice. Did you get that? It doesn't have a choice. It is what it is because it's made originally from God's Word. It has no choice but to respond to God's Word. That's good preaching. That's thank God for the Holy Ghost. I wish I was that smart. I'm not that smart. The Holy Ghost brought that years ago and put it in my arsenal, my arsenal of understanding. Now, this woman with the issue of blood, Jesus tells you plainly how she received it. Now, I want you for a moment, I love Jesus. Trust me, I'm not trying to disparage, but see, I know he's not after you to go down on Main Street and wait for Jesus to physically walk through town so you can go touch his garments. That's not what the lesson is. Who is Jesus? John tells us Jesus is the Word. He is the Word of God, made flesh. This woman, you could say it like this, she made a faith connection with Jesus. But Jesus is, say it, the Word. What is the lesson? By faith, you can make a connection with the Word. And you can have exactly the same results that this woman had. And it doesn't matter if it's long-standing. It doesn't matter if you've had it 12 years. There was another woman who'd been bowed over for 18 years. Remember her? Bowed over 18 years. The key is for your faith to make a connection with God's Word. You are not diminished somehow because Jesus has been glorified and seated now in heavenly places. The lesson is, how do you make that faith connection? How would we do it? Well, number one, I want to make a couple of statements here that you might write down for this lady. Did you notice God the Father, God the Son, nor God the Holy Ghost? We have nothing that says, let me just read the sentence the way I wrote it. God did not give permission for her to be healed. Did you get that? People have this idea all the time. I don't know why God doesn't heal me. He is not making that decision. Quiet in here now. This is hard preaching. See, I like preaching this when I'm healed. I feel pretty good today. I don't like this message when I'm sick. I don't like this message when I've lost a loved one to sickness. You hear me? But it doesn't change the truth. God's not waiting to give permission for you to be healed. Jesus didn't even know who it was that touched him, but she drew the power out of the Word. Did you hear that? She drew the power out of the Word by her faith, and that's exactly what he's after with you. Now, we're focusing on healing today, but you know it wouldn't make any difference? You know, you could be maybe when you first heard the gospel the very first time, maybe you and 99 other sinners, maybe you'd never heard of Jesus in your life, and maybe you were there, and 99 other sinners were there, and you were a sinner, and you weren't born again yet. You've never heard the gospel in your life. And the true gospel of the cross was preached, just that simple message of the cross. And out of the 100, you were the only one that responded. Your faith would make a connection with the Word that was preached. And you would be born again, and it didn't matter if the other 99, you'd say, well, none of them got born again, it didn't work for them. You believed, and they did not. And that's the connection. God did not give permission for her to be healed. Power, dunamis, went out from the word to manifest her miracle, and Jesus didn't even know who she was. It was not his faith that got her healed. Did you get that? It was her faith that got her healed. She made the connection with the Word of God. It was her decision to do it, not God's decision. God has already made the decision. For in her case, you could go way back to Deuteronomy, and there in the early books, in her covenant, I am the Lord that healeth thee. I am Jehovah Rapha. I will bless thy bread and bless thy water. I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. God had already made that decision centuries before this woman was born. He was not waiting to make the decision when she was sick. He had already made the decision. I'm telling you, regarding your healing, he already made the decision 2,000 years ago when Jesus bore your sicknesses and carried your pains, and with his stripes you were healed. God's already made that decision. He's not sitting there like people think. And I know why. It's so easy. I've been sick. Prayed with all the faith I thought I had. Done everything that I, you know. Fever isn't broken. It's so easy then to slip over into carnal thinking, natural thinking. Why doesn't he heal me? And really the implication there is, why is he choosing not to heal me? Or let's say it another way, why is he holding back my healing? And none of those are true. He's already made all those decisions. He made them at the cross. We could go back to Isaiah 52 and 53 again right now, where it says that through the cross, God's bare arm of salvation was revealed to the whole world. There isn't any more power than God's bare. If you have a problem, I don't care what it is, issue of blood or something else. Could be wife trouble, kid trouble, money trouble, car trouble, dishwasher trouble. I don't care. Trouble. And all of a sudden you pray and you somehow he opens your eyes and you can see God walking towards you and your problem. And when he's walking towards you, he's rolling up his bare arm. He's rolling up the sleeve on that arm and he's going, you think my power could help? You would know for sure that your problem is over. Scripture tells us in Isaiah that at the cross, he rolled up his sleeve and reveal the full bare arm of his power to the whole world. But there's only a few. There's only one way that you can access that power. Because in a few verses later, he says, who has believed our report? It's those who believe God's report. It is to them and them only that that arm of power, that dunamis, is revealed. Someday his bare arm is going to be revealed in Tulsa in the form of revival. And he is not holding back. He is not waiting for an appointed time. He is not deciding not to send revival. He's waiting on us. It's as simple as that. We're going to press through for that one just like this lady pressed through for her miracle. And we'll have it. All right, a few more things here now. I'm going to say this paragraph again here. The Word created all things. That's why everything will respond to the Word. It has no choice. Now see, God made you different. You have the power of choice. Cancer does not. Cancer has no will. He told me one time, he says, do not ascribe will to that which I have not ascribed choice. See, I don't even talk like that. Sue knows I don't talk like that. There's somebody way more educated than me that talks like that. Ascribe. I don't ever. So how often do I go around, do not ascribe this or that? I don't use that word. But he said, do not ascribe will to that which I have not ascribed choice. In other words, cancer doesn't have a will. It doesn't have choice. God didn't give it the power of choice. He gave you the power of choice. This woman, she made a choice. She made a decision. And I want you to notice a woman had to do something to make her connection with Jesus, who is the Word. Now think about this. We just read that story. Jesus is walking through town. Let's read it again. Go back to Mark 5. I want it fresh in your mind. Let's get this image is so important. It's a throng of people. It's not just a few. Okay. It won't hurt to read this again. We're doing good on time. A certain woman which had an issue of verse 25. A certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway, that means now, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt it in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue, dunamis, power had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, now, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? Okay, that's enough for now. A throng. Can you see these? You ever seen those streets in Jerusalem? You ever seen, like, they're narrow. They're not, they weren't, you know, they're not six-lane freeways. And they're walking through this town, and the people are thronging Jesus. I can just see this whole mass of people. It's illegal for her. If she has an issue of blood, she's really not supposed to be out in public. But, hey, sometimes you've got to press beyond what's normal. And I see a picture of her. Now, here's it. She's probably, I'm thinking if she's had an issue of blood for 12 years, I can't prove it. I'm thinking she might be a little bit anemic. I don't think she's a weightlifter. I see the picture of this little woman. But she is pressing. It says she's pressing. She's coming through that press, coming up behind. She will not be denied. I'm thinking in the apartments and the houses all along that street and all through that city, there were probably hundreds of people that were sick. Hundreds of them. They did not get healed just because Jesus came passing by. Every Christian house I know has more than one Bible laying on the coffee table or on the bookshelf. Sometimes in America, you'll find 7 or 8, 9 translations in a house. But just because the Word of God is in the house doesn't mean the power is flowing to the house. Doesn't mean the power is flowing out of it just because it's laying there on the coffee table. But I'm telling you, everything you need is in God's Word. The power is there and it will flow to you. The key is making the faith connection. This woman, she would not be denied. She came up through the back, and I mean, it probably took all of her strength, all of her effort, but she would not be denied. She was going to receive her miracle. That's the attitude that receives from God. Now, again, there's more than one way. Thank God for the gifts of the Spirit. Thank God for the working of miracles. Thank God for any way that anybody gets healed. But I'm telling you, if you're on a desert island, you can receive from the Word of God. You don't have to track down Dave or Benny Hinn or who. You don't need. Thank God for them. But God's Word is God's Word everywhere. And you can receive from God's Word if you learn how to make the connection. Okay. All right. There's no doubt hundreds of sick people who loved God, in the houses along that road that day that were not healed. Well, why weren't they healed? Because they chose to do nothing to make a connection with the Word. Sometimes to find out what to do, it's good to look at what not to do. Here is what she did not do. Number one, Now, this is deep calleth unto deep. You better be ready to write this one. This is deep calleth to deep. I'm telling you. Are you ready? Number one, she did not do nothing. And that's what most people do. Nothing. She didn't. Number two, she did not sit there in her living room with this attitude. If God wants to heal me, He will heal me. Doesn't this sound spiritual? I will just rest in Him and trust that in His timing, one day I will be healed. Haven't you heard things like that? Sounds so right, you know. Sounds so right. That's not the attitude. And you hear people saying that all the time. If God wants to heal her, He'll heal her in His good time. She's full of faith, trusting in Him. And I'm thinking, she doesn't have any faith. Faith believes God's word, acts on God's word, and receives from God's word. Doesn't sit there and do nothing. Well, if He wants to heal me, He's already made that decision 2,000 years ago. You're not even up to square one yet. I hate religion. Even if it has Christian over the door, it'll get you killed. Yes, sir. I'm going to go ahead and say, there's many things that I admire about Norval. But he was like a father to me in those early days. Man, we'd never heard anybody preach like Norval. Talking about faith, you know. And I may get these numbers slightly. I don't remember now if he was 9 or 11 when this happened. But the essence of what I'm telling you is right. His mother died of cancer when he was either 9 or 11 years old, I think. And, of course, the church he was going to said, well, it was God's will to take her, you know. Well, later, well, hey, they said that same thing where I grew up all the time, you know. Well, it was just God's will. So later on in life, after Norval really got saved and got to know the Lord, got filled with the Holy Ghost, one time he just asked the Lord. He says, Lord, why did you take my mother to heaven? And again, I don't remember if it was 9 or 11 or 14. He was young. When I was, say, 11 years old. Why did you take my mother to heaven when I was 11 years old? Lord, I needed my mother. Why did you need to take her to heaven? I don't understand, Lord, why you put that cancer on my mother and took her to heaven when I was 11 years old. And the Lord said back to him, I'll never forget it. He says, I did not take your mother with cancer. Neither did I have anything to do with it. And he went, like some, you know, like I get real spiritual sometimes, and I go, what? Well, Lord, if you didn't take her with cancer and take her to heaven, well, how come she died of cancer? And the Lord said to him, I'll never forget this. The Lord said to him, your mother died of cancer because she went to the wrong church. Then I'm just quoting Norval. He says, my mother, she wasn't one of them. She was Baptist. But she said it was a country Baptist. You would say about her, she was one of them shouting Baptists. I mean, she loved God, served in the church, helped people. I don't remember if she played the piano or not, but anyway, he said, my mother loved God and was a shouting Baptist, and she'd just get excited, and she'd serve God, and on and on and on. But that doctrine that they taught at that church was you never knew if it was the Lord's will when it came to certain, you know, when it came to diseases. And she would never had faith in that area. So when the devil attacked her in an area where she had no faith, that doctrine killed her. And it's true. She died because she went to the wrong church. That's why doctrine is so important around here. That's why doctrine is so important. You got to believe the truth, my brothers and sisters. I got the spirit of Norval on me now. My brothers and sisters. If you're wondering when God's going to do it, or you're wondering how God's going to do it, that's called doubt. That's Norval. Thank you, Norval. If God wants to heal me, I'm just going to lay here, keep changing the channels with this remote. God wants to heal me, Brother Gary, in his good time. I'm just trusting in him. He'll heal me, won't he, Brother Gary? No, you're going to die. You're going to die, or stay with that same condition until you die. That's not faith. People think it is, but it's not. Number one, she did not do nothing. Number two, she didn't just lay there thinking she's going to get healed anyway. Number three, she did something to make her connection with Jesus. Let's say it for you. You need to do something to make your connection with the Word. And that connection, I'm talking about a faith connection. I'm talking about where you touch the Word with your faith like she touched Jesus with her faith. And when you do, that dunamis will flow into you just like it flowed into her. I'm believing for dunamis in my back right now. Most of you know my faith project. I'm believing. Why not? I don't care what the doctors say. Why not just believe for a new disc in my back? Say, Gary, I wouldn't say that on tapes. You know, they're recording this. No, you mark it down. Someday I'll show you the after x-rays. I already got the before ones. You'll see it with your eyes. I believe it now without seeing it with my eyes. I'm going to have it too in Jesus' name. Because I can, because the Word says I can. Amen. I'm not going to lay there and say, well, one of these days, AMC channel, CBS channel, one of these days, Discovery Network, when it's his time, then he'll give me my miracle. No. I'm going to press through the crowd. I'm going to press through the unbelievers. I'm going to press through the believers that love God but aren't pressing. And if I'm the only one that gets a new disc, I'm still going to be the one that gets it. Amen. Amen. Now, number four, this is not the way the Lord said it, but this is the way I'm saying it. She got off of her blessed assurance and pressed toward the Word. How? We're given two clues in that passage there in Mark 5. Verse 27, when she had what? Heard. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Somebody preached to her. Somebody, maybe they wouldn't have said, no, I didn't preach to her. What did you do? I told her about Jesus. Okay, you preached to her. She heard. You cannot have faith beyond your actual knowledge of God's Word. If you don't know He's a Savior, you can't be saved. If you don't know He's a healer, you can't be healed, except maybe a miracle line or something. First, you've got to hear the truth and then make a decision on the inside. Is that true or not? And you'll say yes, but that's only half of it. If that's all she had done was hear, she never would have got healed. But step one, you've got to hear. That's why we recommend to you, assimilate the books. Hear the Word of God. You don't have to literally hear it with your ear. Yeah, it's fine. Some people put it in their iPods and they play the Word all the time. I don't care how you hear it. Hear it. I still recommend assimilating the New Testament. Read every one of the books in the New Testament 30 times. Just get it in you. Equip yourself for day and night meditation. I don't think those lessons would be going off when I wake up in the morning if I hadn't done that. My spirit doesn't sleep. My spirit and the Holy Ghost was having school. My mind woke up and went, whoa, this lesson's already started. I got to get to the computer. Okay. How did she press toward the Word? Number one, she heard, and then notice the next verse, 28. And she said. She heard, and then she said. How do you make your connection? I'm going to read verse Mark 5:28 in the Amplified. Mark 5:28 in the King James says, for she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. Mark 5:28 in the Amplified says, for she kept saying. She kept saying it. She kept saying it over and over again. She kept saying it over and over again. She heard it, and then she said it, and then she kept saying it. Then she'd say it. Matthew 9:21, which tells the same story in the Amplified there, the way it's worded, it says, "For she kept saying to herself." Reminds me of a verse. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Speaking to who? Speaking to yourself. She kept saying to herself, "If I can only touch his garment, I shall be restored to health." How would you do it today? "I will touch his word by my faith and I will be restored to health. I'll keep saying it. I'll keep saying it. I'll keep saying it. By his stripes I was healed. By his stripes I was healed. Himself bore my sicknesses and carried my pains, and with his stripes I was healed." And then talk to your body. Talk to it. Call your blood pressure normal. Call your heart. I don't know how long. Well, I do know. It was 2 years for me that I had to call my heart normal, when the best medical doctors could do was give me that heart medication, and thank God for it. It kept me alive till faith came. I thank God for that medication. It did. It regulated my heart, kept me alive till faith came, because the doctors had no hope beyond that point. That was the best they could do for me. They said, "This is an incurable heart disease. You'll have it till you die. We're giving you this medicine. It will keep you alive, but you'll be on it the rest of your life." The problem is, one of the side effects of that medicine was it accelerates the onslaught of arthritis, which is just not something I was really looking forward to in my 50s, you know. So I didn't want to keep taking that medicine. What I did something foolish. I, bless God, I'm a faith man. You know, if I'm healed, I'll throw away my medicine. I don't recommend that. I threw away my medicine, and about 7 days later, I nearly died from a heart problem. So I come in and I asked Dave. I said, "I don't understand. I thought if I was healed, you know, I'd just throw away my medicine. I'd be okay." I'll never forget what he said. He said, "God is not obligated to manifest your healing because you threw away your medicine. God is obligated to manifest your healing when your faith believes his word." He says, "Gary, you need to do your own preaching." I went, "What?" He says, "You're big on confessing the word." He says, "What you need to do is refill your prescription, take your medicine according to what the doctor said, but every time you take it, you confess God's word over your heart. And whenever you think of it, you call your heart normal. You thank him for your miracle." Those of you that's heard that testimony, I did exactly that. I had to take that medicine in the early days, if I remember right, 4 times a day. And I just made up my mind I wasn't going to take the physical medicine without taking the spiritual medicine. So every time that I would take it, that'd be my reminder at least 4 times a day, and sometimes more often if I'd think of it. I would quote scriptures. I had several of them. You don't need every scripture in the Bible about healing. It's the word says, "By 2 or 3 witnesses, let every word be established." You need 2 or 3 that speaks to you. Well, I still remember the first one that I chose. How simple is that one in the Old Covenant? You know, it says, God doesn't change. He's your healer. "I will bless thy bread. I will bless thy water. I will take sickness away from the midst of thee." That's one of them. Okay. Another one was, "Himself bore our sicknesses and carried our pains." And then the third one was, "With his stripes I was healed." Then I would talk to my heart. "Heart, just right as I'm taking my medicine, heart, I'm calling you normal. I have a strong heart. I am cured from that disease. My heart is free from all disease." That went on for 6 months. Turn to somebody and say, 6 months. Say, not 1 month, 6 months. That's not 12 years, but that's still a long time. Seemed like, and nothing was changing. And every day I would hear it over and over. "This is not working. Dave's crazy. You're crazy. None of this is work. And the Bible's not true and there is no God," or something like that. You know, some wonderful faith building, something like that. You're wasting your time. I just kept doing it anyway. One thing I learned from my dad in Norville, I don't have any quitting sense. I just don't. You know, once I start it, that's it. I'm either going to have it or die. That's it. So I just kept on. 6 months went by, and I heard him just as plain. He said, "Start skipping every third dose," I think it was, maybe every fourth dose. I have to go back and listen to my own testimonies. It's been so long now. Over the period of 2 years, about every 6 months, he would reduce my dosage of that medicine again. And finally, I still remember it was May of 1998. This is the year 2013. May of 1998, I took the last dose of that medicine. I was just going to go get the prescription refilled again. And I heard the Lord say, "You're healed. You'll never need that medicine again." And I've never taken another dose. And that was May of 1998. Praise God. Don't tell me this doesn't work. But Gary heard, and then he said, and then he kept saying, and then he said again, and then he said some more, and then he kept saying, "Who was you preaching to?" "Myself." That's what she did, because she kept saying to herself, "You need to establish a faith contact with the Word of God. You need to get two or three or four scriptures that covers your case. Hear them. Get them in your mouth. Make a confession out of them. Keep saying. You are saying it to yourself, but you're the one that needs convincing. God is already convinced. He's already made that decision. He is not withholding your blessing from you. You're the one that's got to be convinced. Bless God, the day will come. That connection will whap. It'll go whap. Connection made. Zoom. Power comes, and you'll walk in the manifestation of it. But he didn't make that decision that day. He made that decision 2,000 years ago. You made the faith connection. See, I just flat believe Jesus will heal you. Period. He'll talk to you about sin no more after he heals you. That's the one I see in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I don't ever see him going, "You straighten this up, straighten that up, quit that, quit this, and then I'll heal you." No, he heals them. And then he says, "Go and sin no more." Glory to God, that's my Jesus. Want to read my little list again? Number one, she did not do nothing. That's what most Christians do. Nothing. Number two, she did not take the attitude, "If God wants to heal me, he'll heal me." Number three, she did something to make her connection with the Word of God. Number four, she heard and then she spoke. She heard and then she spoke. Remember in Romans 10, faith speaks. Faith speaks. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word, but faith speaks. It's always two parts. Faith has two parts, not one. Faith believes in the heart and says with the mouth. So, well, what if I don't believe it? Wonderful. At least we know what the problem is now. It's you. The good news is, see, God's not going to change. His word is not going to change. The devil is not going to change. But the good news is you can change. You can change. You can preach to yourself. Say it, say it, say it, say it, say it. You're preaching to yourself. You're not convincing God, for crying out loud. You're preaching to you. One day you'll step over a line on the inside. I mean, something happened on the inside. You go from unbelief to belief. And yes, throw in a little fasting once in a while. Helps. You know, Dave says that's putting the afterburners on your faith, you know. It's good for you. I need to do more fasting. I agree with that. All right. Faith comes by hearing. Faith is released by believing in the heart and saying with the mouth. Faith will eventually bring you in contact with the Word of God. She established her point of contact, not God. Did you get that? I like a point of contact. For me, very often, the point of contact for Gary, now this is just, I'm just talking about me, is Mark 11, 23 and 24. That's why I keep a ring binder. That's my point of contact. When I prayed, I'll write down the date and the time. That is the day I prayed. And that is the day I believe I received. Whether I can see any change or not, and it doesn't matter whether it's for healing, whether it's for finances, whether it's for deliverance of my children, whether it's for, which they're all delivered now, but whether it's all, but we went through that. But once, that's very often for me, that's my point of contact. Okay? When I pray, that moment. And I can go back to that ring binder. It's something physical I can go touch. And when I, then the next day, I don't ask him again like he didn't hear me. But I go through there and I say, "I thank you, Father, you heard me when I prayed. I know I believed I received right then. Father, I thank you that I'm healed, or I thank you that we have the $1,000, or I thank you that my children are walking in the truth, or whatever it is, I don't ask him again. I thank him like it's already done. But that's my point of contact. You can have other points of contact. Sometimes, I'll just share this with you, there have been times what I've got down here, sometimes there's a peace that comes. You heard me describe that, most of you that's heard my testimony, in the early days when money was staying away from us in great abundance. And I had all of this false doctrine in me about poverty. The church I grew up in, this was a common prayer. Now, they meant it half kidding, but only half. God, we're praying for our pastor. You keep him humble, we'll keep him poor. Well, in a lot of their messages, the end result, I grew up thinking if you really love God, you couldn't have anything. Well, when I got born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, that doctrine came to the forefront because that's what was in my heart in abundance. And I had to tear down that stronghold. God gave me that assignment of taking three verses and saying them out loud 4 hours a day. Now, I didn't know anything about godly hope in those days. And if y'all have heard Tim's messages earlier this year where he was teaching about the God of hope, boy, if I would have known then what's on those messages, if you learn how to incorporate godly hope with your confession, it will accelerate, it will speed up your it'll shorten your manifestation time tremendously. But I didn't know anything about that then. All I knew was blatant faith. I hear it and I say it. So I was like a sledgehammer. God's word was like a sledgehammer. And here I was up against this stronghold. Can you picture this big wall of poverty, this stronghold of, you know, like a castle wall right here? And it's poverty, you know, and I can't get out. God gives me his word like a sledgehammer. You know, it says in the Old Testament, my word is like a hammer and my word is like a fire. And like 4 hours a day, I took those three verses. The young lions do hunger and suffer lack. Here's my sledgehammer. But those that seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Bam! Hardly made a dent in that stronghold. All right? My God shall supply all my need according to his riches and glory. Bam! One little gravel falls out of the wall. I know the grace of my Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, and for my sake he became poor, that I, through his poverty, might be rich. Bam! Sledgehammer shakes. 4 hours a day. Not for weeks, but for months. Now, I'm not at all saying I'm embarrassed that my soul was in such bad shape that it took that long. Again, if I would have known about godly hope in those days, it would have speeded it up a lot, but I didn't know it. All I knew was blatant faith, gutted out faith, sledgehammer faith. But the day came, I'll remember it, I'll never forget it. One day, months went by, and I'd be misrepresenting if I didn't tell you this part. My mind, the devil, thoughts, he did everything in the world to beat me out of that. This is ridiculous. This is not accomplishing anything. You've really gone off the deep end now. Don't you know the prayer center is a cult and Dave is crazy? You know? Don't tell me you haven't had those thoughts. I know you have. Either that or the devil's dead. You know? And I just keep on keeping on keeping on. And finally, I'll never forget it. Someone described faith one time like you ever put a quarter in a vending machine? And then suddenly you hear that thing go clunk. It was kind of like that. All of a sudden, something on the inside of me went clunk. This peace came. This knowing came. It's hard to describe. I'll often describe it like this. It's like I had been in one room. Like, okay, if you'll picture that stronghold again. Suddenly, I mean, I had been on this side of the wall for all that time. But suddenly, finally, that day, there was an opening made. And I was able to exit out of that stronghold. So I say, it's like I stepped out of one room over into another room. Now, the circumstances were not any different that day. In fact, they got worse for a while after that. They got worse. But they didn't get worse on the inside. From that day, I come home. That's the day I come home. That stack of bills was about a foot tall there. And I walked right in and pointed right at them. And I said, I don't live there anymore. Bless God. Now, again, the outside circumstances did not change immediately. But I like to say it this way. That was the bottom of our roller coaster ride. From that day, I mean, things little by little, from that day till now, I've gotten better. We've had our battles along the way. But bless God, it changed me. I kept saying to myself, what did you say? His word. Over and over and over. And eventually I made my connection with God's word, and dunamis flowed, and bless God, we don't live in lack anymore. And I didn't have to preach anything wrong to get the money. I didn't have to do anything deceitful to get the money. My job was to believe him. His job is to get the money. Ooh, somebody needed to hear that. Here's the point. Now, I remember that time. I remember when that peace came. And then our circumstances caught up later. It's not always like that. I've had other battles. Well, I mean, right up till the manifestation. I was going to die, going to die, going to die. There was no peace. I'm still in the middle of it. I'm still confessing. There's been times I did not have that assurance come, I'll be honest with you, until the situation changed. What difference does it make as long as you get it? I love the peace of God. I like how Dave says it, peace, the aggressive weapon of God. Now there is a peace that stays with me most of the time, much more than it was in the early days. It doesn't mean that I don't get alarmed sometimes, but there, even with that alarm, there's still a peace. There's a knowing that comes from decades of watching him come through. Good stuff. Now the point is, don't do nothing. I don't care what it is you need from God. The answer is already in his word. He is not holding back anything from you. Are you going to be the one? I like that image again. Here's the word. Here's Jesus walking through the street. And the crowds are thronging him. I'm trying to picture in the apartments and the buildings along the way, lots of people were probably sick. People that love God. We only have record of one that got healed. But she decided to do something different. She decided to press until she got what she needed from God. She was able to touch the physical Jesus. You are able to touch him also. But how you do it now is his word. His word. In the beginning was the word, and the word still is. Did you get that? Now I'm going to add one other thing, something that you have that woman did not have. You have a helper. His name is the Holy Ghost. There's times when the assaults get so bad. Now, maybe not you, but for me. My brain gets so assaulted, I hardly know which way is up. Sometimes I don't even know what word would cover my problem. You ever get into that? Now, I believe in being a good student of the word. We have a helper. Here's Romans 8:26. When you don't know what to pray as you ought, the Spirit, he will begin to make intercession for you with groanings that cannot be uttered. Why can't they be uttered? Because you don't know what to pray for as you ought. But he will make intercession for you according to the perfect will of God. And that's where that verse is that follows. While you're praying in tongues, you can rest assured. While you're doing that, all things are working together for the good of those that love God. He is such a helper in every way, not only regarding those kind of things. He keeps bringing this up. I wasn't going to tell this because it seems too trivial. Not trivial, I guess. I couldn't find, I hate to admit this, I couldn't find my iPhone charger. Now, I have several, but I also have grandchildren. I don't know where they are. And I know I have several, and I couldn't find it, and it was important. I needed it. I didn't know what to do, so I'm thinking, oh, I got to go back to the store and get another one. They're not cheap, you know. Get another charger. I thought, I'm just going to sit here and pray just for a little bit. I'm just going to sit here and just pray. I just prayed in the Spirit about 5 minutes. It wasn't even 5 minutes, I don't think. And a picture comes to my mind. Did you know the Holy Ghost, the language of the Holy Ghost is pictures? Dreams and visions. See, I'm knowing now that I'm getting to be older because your old men shall dream dreams. I'm so often now it's dreams. But it's pictures. I was just praying in the Holy Ghost and I saw a picture of a box in our garage. And I thought, I just went out there and opened that box, and sure enough, there was a brand new charger in it. Holy Ghost knew it was there the whole time. We have a helper. How often do we struggle with things just because we don't really rely on the helper God's given us? See, I don't know what to confess. I would recommend praying in tongues until you do. He'll bring scriptures to your mind. Remember, he says, he'll not only lead you into all truth, he will put you in remembrance of all the things that I've already said. You have a helper. Let's not ignore the gift that has been given us. Did y'all get the point? All right. I think I'm going to call this one making your word connection. It's something that you do. It's something you do on purpose. God is not withholding any good thing. You make the decision, you press, and you will have it. And I'm going to stop. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you, you haven't made it complicated. You made it simple. You sent your word and healed us, Lord. You sent your word so that we could all have access. The educated, the uneducated, the rich, the poor, it doesn't matter, Lord. We all have access by faith to your word. And Father, we thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace that empowers us to walk as he walked, talk as he talked, to have the same manifestations that he had. Thank you, Lord, for your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.